Okay.
I want to pass out these postcards, and if you will, pass those out. Now, my address is on it, and what I want you to do is I want you to mail me back this postcard. After you've had it for a couple of weeks or a week, put it up somewhere on a bulletin board. Pray for God to use me. You see, when I go out and work as a person in the secular business world, I'm as frightened as you are. I sure am. When I went to the food show this last week, I had my gospel survey tracts, and I hand them out, and I put them in the bathrooms everywhere I go, and all the flusher machines, and I hand them to people everywhere, and I give them in filling stations. But you know the hardest place to represent Jesus Christ is in the place where you get your income. Because that's where the devil really does whip us with fear, anxiety, and even good logic. So what we have to do is be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We need to continue to serve the Lord. We need to do it very realistically, but do it. And I had those tracks there, and I have a table that sets out, and thousands of people come by in a day's time. And I serve them barbecue all day long, let them taste it, tell them the story. And there's really not enough time to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and corner everyone. So to be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove, I take the track and leave it on the table. And the devil tried to fight me about this. He does every time. This is the most key account you've got, Frank. This account can lose 20 distributors that you've worked for 6 months to build up. You better not put them out this time. You better be more careful. And so I hesitated and I hesitated, and finally I got so convicted. You see, I fear God more than I fear man. And I have to reassert that in my life. And you do too. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to make some calls. And God's going to honor it because the field is ready to be harvested. And people are going to get saved. And then the devil's going to start attacking you in all sorts of ways. And you'll be giving out these tracts. And you'll be leading people to the Lord on the street corners. And you'll be going through the tract. And you'll have it memorized by calling it out on the telephone. And you'll be giving it by memory to relatives and friends. And pretty soon, you're going to begin to get really burdened down with the fiery darts the devil will fire at you. Keep in mind, we fear God more than we fear man. We fear the Lord God more than we fear Satan. Ours is a life of everlasting service, a life of eternal existence, in which we'll have to share these blessings. Let's not forget it. Pray for me that I'll continue to serve the Lord and that I'll continue to have the focal point of the fear of the Lord and not the fear of man. Then write me and let me know how many people you called and the period of time, how many were saved, and how many you actually asked to say the prayer. Three things. How many you called, how many were saved, and how many you actually asked, would you like to settle this today and say a prayer with me? You see, what Christians do so often, just like barbecue salesmen, they'll have the product and they'll present the product, and we have the only product for eternal existence and salvation. But like many people will do as they're telling their story, they won't draw the net. Now, drawing the net is not the closing of the prayer. The drawing of the net is the asking of the person, would you want to settle that today? You would, wouldn't you? Say this prayer with me, trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's drawing the net. You don't have to be concerned that they reject. Now, that's the Lord's business. That's the shed blood. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's not our problem. The drawing of the net is the asking of them to settle it with God and to say that prayer. Isn't that nice? It's simple. I drew the net. I used to think that that meant if you get them saved, Frank, then you draw the net. That's too hard. That's what the old devil wanted me to think. Then, you know, I get a little nervous at that. But if it's just being kind enough and concerned enough, and they know, would you like to settle it today? That's drawing the net. So write me then and let me know, and I'll send you back probably a postcard from time to time. As I put these names down that respond, then I'll send out postcards and let you know how things are doing in other parts of the country and what God is doing with Gospel Survey Ministries. And Gospel Survey Ministries is what I present to you and what the Lord gave to me. And it's a ministry that is threefold. One, you have the Gospel Survey track in which you take a Gospel Survey anywhere you are. You hand the track out to them, and when they grab hold of it, you say, now, this is just a simple Gospel Survey. You take it on your own time. The first question is, if you died today, would you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Yes or no? Now, that's the only question you have to have memorized to begin with. Because you see, what I did in the beginning is I handed it out, I asked that first question. And when they said, no, I don't know, I would like to know. You see, their heart's already prepared. I give them that one, and I hold mine, and I say, now the second question is, and I read it right off of my track, is if you could know for sure right out of the Word of God, would you want to know? You would want to know, wouldn't you? Yes or no? Well, yes, I would. Well, open yours up, and I'll open mine up. And I just opened it up right there in front of them. I led a man to the Lord that was in a helicopter. And he was parked out in front of the Holiday Inn waiting on, I think, Jay Rockefeller. And he got out of his helicopter and came over. I waved him over, and we stood there for a while, and he kept watching the helicopter for fear that I had somebody that was going to steal it or mess around with it. And I asked him that first question. I handed it to him, and he said, you know, I've been wondering about this. Man flying Jay Rockefeller around the helicopter might wonder about it. And he opened it up and led him to the Lord. And he thanked me three times before I could leave of taking the time to take a gospel survey with him. That's one way to use it. And of course, within that same way is you leave it. If you hand it to them and you say, this is a simple gospel survey, you take it on your own time. The first question is, if you died today, would you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Yes or no? Well, I don't really care, and I'm too busy. Yes, thank you. Take it and read it on your own time. Okay? Okay. That's leaving it. That's the other two-fold process of that first step of the Gospel Survey Ministries. You either lead them to the Lord right there, or maybe you don't have time, and the Holy Spirit's not convicted you to stop everybody. So you leave it with them and go on your way, but leave it. Leave it in the restroom where you're in the restrooms. I tell you the truth, if we get enough of these covering enough places, there'll be gospel surveys taken, and people will get saved. The first one they may reject, the second one they may reject, but the third one, the Holy Spirit keeps planting the question, if you died today, would you know for sure? If you died today, would you know for sure? If you died today, would you know for sure? No, but I think it's time I do know for sure. Keep taking the gospel survey. That's one way. The second phase of Gospel Survey Ministries is the telephone instruction sheet. And what you really do with this is you lay it right down in front of you and you read right through it. It's as simple as that. The first sheet is designed to lead them into salvation. And it is the same gospel survey as you have on the track. And I'm going to give you one a little later as we make some phone calls. The gospel survey sheet is designed to give you the little side notes on each one of the verses that's highlighted. And the idea is, as you call on the telephone, it says, hello, my name is, and you give your name. And I'm with the such and such church, and you give your church. And what this can do for you then, it can give you an opening. And how are you today? Well, I'm fine. Well, they're glad you asked. Now, we're taking a gospel survey for our bus ministry, our Sunday school ministry, whatever. Would you help me by answering a few questions? Well, yes, I will. If they say no, say thank you. We just want you to know we're concerned about you. Our church number is such and such. If you ever need any help or you have any questions, call our pastor. He's eager to help you. And that's why we're doing this, because he wants us to. If they say, yes, I'm interested, and you go right on in. This first question is one we've asked ourselves many times, and please be serious about the answer. If you died today, would you know for sure that you would go to heaven, yes or no? Well, I don't think I would know. Or they might say, yes, I'm going. And the little instruction sheet says in the red, how do you know? And they say, I've been good. I've been baptized. I've gone to church all my life. Well, I had one man tell me it was 98% sure. You see, we don't want to debate them. We don't want to, at this point, argue with them at all. But in fact, we don't have to argue about the gospel. We know it's the truth. So I simply say and suggest on the sheet that you say, if you could know for sure, right out of the Bible, would you want to know? You would want to know, wouldn't you? Yes. You see, I haven't said a thing. In fact, sometimes I just repeat what they say. I've been baptized. You've been baptized. Okay. Now, if you could know for sure, right out of the Word of God, you would want to know, wouldn't you? Yes, I would. And then you start right into the track, which is the inside of the track, but it's on your worksheet right on the front. And it says, we die and become a brief moment of memory in the mind of man. Now, you've asked them their first name by this time, whenever it's right for you to ask it. And you put that down, and you say, Frank, we die and become a brief moment of memory in the mind of man. And then the little worksheet has a little red thing that says, we're not remembered long, are we? And you say that, and you get their response, and they'll say, no, we're not. Invariably, that's the answer I get. And then if you want to, you can share with them that it's even scriptural. And the sheet says in James 4:14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And you go right on through this presentation so that the worksheet has it spelled out. Everything you do all the way down to where you ask them if they would like to say this prayer with you, settle it with God, and be saved right now. Okay, enough said about the worksheet. That's the second phase. And what you do, you see, is you automatically imprint in your memory and mind the whole survey and every side thing that's said. You make 40 calls a week, which is what I challenge you to on the gospel survey team sheet. And you make 40 calls a week for 40 weeks. And you will be part of a 10-member team. Each sheet has 10 members. And that team can make 1,600 house calls in a period of 40 weeks. I promise you, I don't hope, I promise you, that if you will be faithful to God's Word, and you see it's God's Word, it won't come back void. It's your faithfulness that God honors. And it's the field that's white with harvest, ready. So what we need to do then is be faithful, make those calls, and you will be delighted at what God will do for you and your own Christian spiritual life and what He'll do for your church as the people in your community become realizing that your church is the church that specializes in soul winning. Now, the third phase of Gospel Survey Ministries is an automatic phase. This is not a hard thing to memorize because you see it comes automatically by your faithfulness. God honors your faithfulness. Your memory will be imprinted with all of the side facts to be added to the gospel survey. As you call it out on the telephone, you hear it said, you read it, and your mind will digest it, and it will take it in, and it will become part of you, and it will be sown into your heart, the Word of God, all of the Scriptures. And then God honors that. His Word says He will. So what you have then is a three-phase ministry. You have the track ministry now that you can share the side notes as you share these tracks in person. You have the telephone gospel survey where you can reach people by telephone. You have the memory where you can be without the track. When I work on the road, I have to sit and ride with salesmen. And I will ride with them for anywhere from 6 to 8 hours a day. And I sit on the opposite of the driver's side. And as we go up and down the roads and we go into the restaurants and out, and I present my barbecue, they sell all the other items they have to sell. As I do that, I add a little note from time to time about the gospel survey ministry from memory. And I also have some different little stories that I share to plant in their mind, one, how important they are. And one of my little stories that I share with them is I say, have you ever wondered why God made Adam knowing that he would sin? I mean, I have. And I say it just as sincere because it's part of me and it can be part of you. And you know, they'll say, well, I hadn't thought about it, but now that you mention it, it is kind of strange, isn't it? Why an all-knowing God, knowing that he would sin, created Adam knowing that he would do that? And some of them will say, I've thought about that a long time. And once the question has been planted, then I can come back and say, well, let me share it with you this way. If your wife came in tomorrow morning, and she came in, and I do this, puts chills up and down my back when I do it, and they're sitting there. They look at me a little funny for a minute. But I say, your wife came in, and she came in like a robot. And she said, honey, this is a good morning. I love you. Would you like something for breakfast? And move my hand just like a little robot. I say, now, you know, would you want that? And they say, no, I wouldn't. Well, of course you wouldn't. What you want her to do is come in willfully and say, honey, I love you. Would you like something for breakfast? And I let them just think about it for a minute. And then I say, that's the same thing God wants. He wants Adam and you and I, his creation, to come in willfully and say, Lord God, I love you. Is there anything I can do for you today? So he had to create Adam with a free will. That free will allowed him to disobey. The free will that you have with your relationship with your husband and the men have with their relationship with the wife is one where they can disobey. They may not always agree with you. They may not always tell you that they love you. But you know what? It's that one time that they really mean it and you know it that is so meaningful. And that's what God wants from his children. So he made Adam with this ability to sin. Now, what we need to do then is add another one later. As you're talking to your relatives, and my new sheets coming out will have all these little stories on them, and if you'll mail me back the postcards and request a new sheet, I'll have all of these on them, each one of these little side note stories that actually persuade with the logic of the Bible. You know, Paul, when he talked to Festus, I mean, Festus was the key man in the kingdom. And you know what he did? He told him these little stories. And he explained to him, and he persuaded him with Scripture, with facts, with the logic of God's Word. For example, I really believe that we can share, you know, one of the things that keeps a lot of young people from getting saved is they have been so indoctrinated with evolution. And one of my little stories that I like to plant is, I say, have you ever met Mick or Mac? And they say, no, I haven't met Mick or Mac. Well, I say, you know, there's a fact about your brain. You have a 3-pound brain. And in that 3-pound brain, there are 10 billion cells. And out of these 10 billion cells, you have 10 trillion nerve connections. Now, just picture a huge board just spanning from end to end and height to depth, and you can't see the end of any of it. And it has all of the centers of the phone banks in the United States and has all the connections for all those, and then try to understand that that would go into the human 3-pound brain. God made you so special. Now, that 3-pound brain, if you tried to make a computer, a scientist has already said that it would take a building the size of the Empire State Building to house a computer, if a computer can be made that would do what the human brain can do. This is what our God has created. Now, my point then is, if he can create such a powerful system in the human body, he can recreate a person just the same. And the new creation comes after salvation, and you begin to see God sifting things out of your life, sifting things out of your mind, and making you a new and special creation. And I say, now, you know the biggest lie told in evolution? It says, first of all, a truth. Now, Satan always tells a truth before he tells a lie. You know, he always plants a seed. And microevolution is what the kids are taught, that there are changes within a kind. This is true. And being true, we take to it. And that means, like, the humankind will get a little larger or smaller or changes based on their environment. And this is true in all the kinds. They adapt. Now, scientifically, we can see that happen. Then Satan comes right behind that, and with the humanistic approach, he says, therefore, macroevolution is true. That is the change from one kind to another. And this is clearly incorrect, a lie, and tells us that an ape becomes a man or some ancestor, or that a dog becomes a cat, or, as you know, these are clear-cut lies. So the little microevolution and macroevolution story is a good way to simply explain it without them getting into some debate with you on the scientific basis. There's never been a fossil found, and there's never been a situation where this has been repeated, and that's been stated by the Institute for Creation Research scientists there. So these are some stories. The little story on love letters is something you can share, and it's Lou's love letters. And Lou's love letter says this: when I'm talking with someone, I shared this with someone right out front this morning. This man that lives right across the street was getting ready to go to work. I took him the track. I knew he was getting ready to go to work. He was in a hurry. And I handed him the track, and I said, if you would, just read this sometime today. Take yourself your gospel survey. If you never go to church the rest of your life, and I would hope that you would, because that's where God can really give you strength and help. But if you never went to church, that's not what God is telling you to do to go to heaven. But he is telling you here in his word what you need to do and know to know for sure if you die today, you're going to heaven. Will you read it? He said, yes, I will. I said, now, how many are in your family? He said, 3. So I gave him a total of 3 of the gospel survey tracts. I said, now, the second thing I would tell you to do after you've read this, if you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, is, if your wife, to explain it to you, would write you 66 love letters and put them in a binder and you put them on a shelf and never read them, I said, you wouldn't know how much she loved you, how much she wanted to encourage you, or the warnings. Lou's love letters. Well, he said, no, I wouldn't. I said, the same thing is true about what God has done. God has given you and I 66 love letters, 66 books in the Bible. The second thing that you do then, after you've led them to the Lord by telephone or with a tract, is to start your own Timothy program. And you do that by little postcards. You can send them a postcard, congratulate them. You can go take them out to eat for congratulating them. You can go by and see them and just stop and take them a pie. You can do a lot of things to make these people know that you genuinely cared about them. The first thing you don't do is say immediately after they're saved, well, if you're not in church Sunday morning, you lied. You didn't mean it. Because they'll still be saved. But they'll immediately wonder what your motives were. They may even question the salvation that they had themselves because maybe you weren't sincere. Well, that won't have anything to do with it, really, in the Lamb's Book of Life, if their heart was right. But they may hesitate to come to church. And when they do come to church, of course, to love them and preach the Word of God, which you will do here at this church. Don't be surprised if they come and then leave, because we're backsliders by nature. You see, we don't get a new nature. We get a new direction. Old things are passed away. What are they? White throne judgment. That's passed away for one that's gotten saved. But now we face new things, which are the judgment seat of Christ. Old things are passed away. We miss hell and the literal burning hell that it is. New things are heaven, streets of gold. But the nature stays the same. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you don't find yourself tempted to get backslidden. Myself, the pastor's wife, you see, what we need to do is stay in the Word of God, stay in the house of God, and stay on our knees. And we'll stay in God's will and lead people to Jesus Christ. So there you have the threefold ministry. You have the some of the ways it can be used and some of the stories that are added that people might be planting of thoughts in their mind that the Holy Spirit then can take and prepare their heart to receive a Lord and Savior. We're here today, and I want to see the program begin, and I'd like to see your Jerusalem covered with Gospel Survey telephone calls and Gospel Survey tracts. You can stamp your own church on the back. There's a place for it. This tape is of a lady that I called in New York, Rochester, New York, and led to the Lord. And it's going to play all the way to the end, and I want you to especially notice that you can have your own house gathering. Invite two or three of the people that are in the Gospel Survey team and have them over. And after you've eaten and you've had some fellowship, bring a list of names out of the phone book, not people you know necessarily. And then sit by the phone, have two couples pray, and one couple call, one person call in the couple. And take your list and then change up and pray and change up and pray and call. And this will be fellowship that will be meaningful. And if you'll do this, this is what we did. We went, we ate, and we were in this particular home, and they had some names that they wanted called. This were people that they knew were not saved, and they wanted called. And so it was mentioned to start calling. We did, and it'll explain how many people got saved on the telephone that day. And it can happen in your homes with your own calling party that you get together. Mr. and Mrs. Seymour there, please? No, they're not there. Okay, is an older brother or sister there I could talk to, or a babysitter? All right, hon. Well, listen, how old are you? Four, bless your heart. Are you okay? Are you okay and everything's okay? Oh, okay. Well, listen, see you later then. Bye-bye.
Hello?
Yes. Who's speaking, please?
Arlene.
Yes, Arlene. I asked her if her mother and father were there.
Mr. and Mrs. Seymour, and she said no. And I said, is the babysitter there? And she said no. And I said, is a brother or sister older there? And she said no. I said, how old are you? She said four. And so I was quite confused. Well, I'm calling you. I'm taking a survey for a local church here in the city. And I take surveys when I come into town, and I can't take them unless I call people and talk to them.
Right.
Okay? Now, this survey has two questions, basically two questions on it. I'm taking the survey to give you all the vital information for the Open Door Baptist Church. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Would you answer a couple questions for me, please?
Yes.
All right. Arlene, the first question is this. If you died today, would you know for sure that you would go to heaven, yes or no?
I got to answer yes or no.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't say I don't know.
All right. Okay, that's a good, legitimate answer. The second question is, if you could know for sure, right out of the Bible, wouldn't you want to know?
Say that again?
If you could know for sure, right out of the Bible, you would want to know, wouldn't you?
Yes.
All right. Now, Arlene, we die and we become a brief moment of memory in the mind of man. That's kind of true, isn't it? We're not remembered real long, are we?
No.
We wish we were remembered longer, but we're not. But thank God, God loves us eternally through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And yes, Arlene, we must all die because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And this judgment is for sin, because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, Arlene, that means that pastor down at the Open Door Baptist Church, he's a sinner. That means that me, the fellow calling you, I'm a sinner. And Arlene, I don't want to, you know, confuse you or make you upset on you, but it makes you a sinner too. Is that okay? We're all sinners, aren't we?
Yeah, we are sinners.
Okay. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 25:46, these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I used to think that righteous meant if I were just good enough, or went to church long enough, or quit doing such and such, I could be righteous before God. But that's not what the Bible says. And in Romans 5:19 it says this, as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, Jesus, shall many be made righteous. So we're made righteous by what Jesus did and not what we did, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Arlene, this means that you can be made righteous because the Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you call on the name of the Lord with your heart and your mouth, because the Bible says in Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And God knows our hearts, and with the mouth to say it, confession is made unto salvation. Now, Arlene, there's one prayer that God wants everyone to say from the bottom of their heart with all the faith they can have at that particular moment and mean it in order to receive Christ into their heart and life and be saved. Would you say that prayer with me right now?
Yes.
Okay. Arlene, say, God, I'm a sinner.
God, I'm a sinner.
With all the faith that I can have at this moment,
with all the faith that I can have at this moment,
I believe that you came by Jesus.
I believe that you came by Jesus.
Lived and died for my sins.
Lived and died for my sins.
And was raised from the dead.
And was raised from the dead.
I repent and turn away.
I repent and turn away.
From running my life.
From running my life.
And ask Jesus from this day on.
And ask Jesus from this day on.
To run my life for me.
To run my life for me.
I now ask Jesus to save me.
I now ask Jesus to save me.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, congratulations. Listen, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, it is, isn't it? To get that all behind you and say, hey, I got a new slate up in front, and God forgave me, and here I go. This first day is the first day of the rest of your life, and I'm excited for you. And it's like I got saved all over again. Now, Arlene, I got saved and said the same kind of prayer you said the last Sunday of December of 1970. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life to save me and make me the person he wants me to be. Now, he's not done with me yet. But day by day, I get closer, and I snuggle up to Jesus, and I get in the Word of God, and I ask Him to show me what He wants me to do with my life. I try to get into a good church, and I try to learn what the Bible says. Now, I want to share something with you. There's a verse that's very, very important to me, and it's going to be important to you. It's John 6:37, and it says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." When I got saved that last Sunday in December of 1970, I got into a boat. Let's just think of it as that, a boat of safety and security, and Jesus Christ has hold of the oars. And ever since then, I've been in this boat throughout the life on earth, and I'm still, and I hope I'm here for a few more years, because I like to call people just like yourself. But as I traveled in this boat of safety and security going to heaven through life, I came up by Rochester, New York, and I looked out into the sea of life, and I saw you, Arlene Seymour. And I asked Jesus, I said, "Can I invite her into this boat of safety and security going to heaven?" And He said, "Call out." And so I got on the phone, I called you, and I gave you the scriptures that He gave us in His Word, and I asked you if you really wanted to be receive Christ. You did receive Christ tonight, didn't you? And you meant it. Okay. You got in that boat of safety and security with me, and that verse is going to mean a lot to you, because He says, "I will in no wise cast you out of that boat." Okay? All right. Now, there's one thing I'd like to consider at least sharing with you. The Bible says that we should go into all the world preaching the gospel, getting people saved, and then having them baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as believers. Now, you got saved by grace. You didn't do anything. In other words, it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You are saved now. If you never go to a church the rest of your life, now I'd advise you to, because that's where strength is and that's where the Word is taught, but you wouldn't have to get into heaven, okay?
Yeah.
All right. But the very most important first step of obedience as a believer is to be baptized. And what happens is when they lower you down into the water, it's a demonstration to others who watch that you are burying the old self, and as best you can, with all the faith you can, you're depending on Jesus to raise you out of the water and to walk and follow Him. You know, that would make you strong, and then it says to be discipled. In other words, look into the Word of God and have somebody help you learn what God wants you to do so that you won't get hurt and you'll have at least some kind of a way to fight the things in the world that would try to trip a person up. Would you do me a favor? Would you go talk to that preacher over there at Open Door Bible Baptist and talk to him about getting baptized on that first step of obedience? Would you do that for me?
Where is that at?
Well, now I think, do you have a child that maybe goes over there? I think that's where I got the card.
Evan, she goes over there.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. All right, now it's the same church. If you would go over there and just talk to that pastor and say, you know, "I'd like to know more about being baptized, and I told the fellow that I would come. I've been saved. I got saved on this day, and just given the day," and he'll say, "How do you know you're saved?" And you'll say, "I asked Jesus Christ in the heart and life, and I got saved." Because that's what the Word of God says, and that's what you did. If you died today, you'd go to heaven, right?
Right.
Okay. Would you do me a favor and go over there and talk to him about being baptized?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'd like for you to do one thing, and I'm going to let you go. I'd like for us to pray together and just share with God what we've done and what we're going to do, and then I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
All right. God?
Yes?
I thank you for what has happened tonight.
I thank you for what has happened tonight.
And I promise I'll go see that pastor about baptism.
And I promise I will go see that pastor about baptism.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
Now, can I do this? Can I share your testimony as I go around the country and share with people what you did? You're not ashamed of Jesus, and you wouldn't mind if I shared it with other people, would you?
No, I'm not ashamed.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, I just thank you. You're just a kind, kind person. I thank you, and if I never see you again, I'll see you in heaven, okay?
Okay.
All right, Arlene. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
We were in Minier, Illinois, and we was at a house where we were staying. The weather was so bad that we couldn't get out. I mean to tell you, snow and cold and ice. And the pastor came over, and the dear gentleman that owned the home was there and loved the Lord. And Frank got on the phone, and he started calling. And in a matter of 2 hours, 12 people received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. A lot was the pastor's family. And when they would start in that prayer, we'd get so excited. The pastor would take off running that way, down the hallway, and I'd go down that way, the other man, and we all went into bedrooms, and we shut the door, and we wailed and shouted and praised God. And we got over that and come back out, and he'd call again, and we'd take off down the halls again, run in, shut the door, shout, and come back out. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to let Bob have his choir practice here. I want to do something, though, before we dismiss. I think it'll just allow you to see something that was a blessing to my heart today. And I'd like Frank to come here just a minute, Frank. Now, I thought Frank had gone to Thomas Road Bible Institute or Liberty Baptist College. You ever went to Bible college, Frank?
No, sir.
Never been to Bible college. Are you a preacher?
Well, I'm
just a preacher of the gospel. Now, he's got a job. He's a salesman. And you've got a sales meeting this week. Tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
In Liverpool.
Right.
So you see, he's just a person like you sitting out there. Now, isn't that good? That you don't have to be a preacher to lead people to Christ? Isn't that right? He's a traveling representative for a firm. And he's doing that now with the brother that he has here. He's driving his car, but he's doing his sales work while he's in the car. And he's also winning people to Christ. So that's exciting to me. Amen? That's all.
Let me correct side one. It is 4 calls per week for 40 weeks multiplied by 10 team members that yields 1,600 contacts with the gospel for Jesus in your church. Thank you for continuing on for Jesus. I'm excited that you are so winner. More than that, God is glad. This tape is not to be copied, but can be used by you for the teaching of how to take a gospel survey. There will be future tapes of salvations available to you. Gospel Survey Ministries is in business to win people to Jesus and to encourage Christians to call out to a lost and dying world. Let me remind you that these people agreed to let their testimonies be used to help others to learn how to take a gospel survey. I would in no way want to embarrass or hurt anyone, but thank the Lord these people were not ashamed to stand up for Jesus. Won't you listen to learn so that you too can take a more successful stand for Christ? Remember, always be kind, considerate, and willing to leave your prospect open to the gospel and to your church. Always keep in mind that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You can win their confidence and earn the right to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts, and God gives the increase.